you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go. Go, 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 go. Hustle hard, hustle every single day. I'll be making moves till I'm buried in my grave. To the system, I don't wanna be a slave. I've been doing shit my way, or the highway. And in the driveway is a nice range. Cause I grind through the climb, I invite pain. You'll never hear me, bitch, nah, I don't complain. Just gotta flip the switch and you can go and obtain anything you want, anything you need. Your mind's got the key ingredient, it's belief. They'll see with the negativity, but I just slide right by that energy. Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go. Go, 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 go. Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go. Go, 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 go. Hustle hard, hustle every single day. I'll be making moves till I'm buried in my grave. To the system, I don't wanna be a slave. I've been doing shit my way, or the highway. And in the driveway is a nice range. Cause I grind through the climb, I invite pain. You'll never hear me, bitch, nah, I don't complain. Just gotta flip the switch and you can go and obtain anything you want, anything you need. Your mind's got the key ingredient, it's belief. They'll see with the negativity.
Hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of the Sports Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. William B. Morgan. Guys, we got a lot to go down it tonight. We're gonna talk about some NBA action. We're going to talk about some NFL, some very gigantic went down yesterday. Even going to talk some soccer. That's right. You're going to get a little bit of soccer talk here on the Sports Report tonight. But first, let me bring in my two gentlemen that's with me tonight. First, let me bring my man in. 7-7, what's up? You're on mute, buddy.
Are you in a better mood since the Saints got a win?
Yes!
Good.
Yes, I was kind of shocked. I thought we were going to lose that game. But Dalton came through, played very well. And I was
he does
shocked.
That every once in a while.
Yeah, every once in a while he'll come through. Every once in a while. 21, 25, 260 yards, couple touchdowns.
He's like that cousin that needs money. He'll show up every once in a while.
Oh, man. All right, let me go ahead and bring in my man, Dan the Dick. Dan, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
How you doing?
It's football, by the way, not soccer, Will.
Football.
Most popular sport in the world, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Not around here. nobody's putting on the old soccer cleats around here.
Oh no. Oh no.
I think, can
we just enjoy the irony in the fact that a country where the America's pastime for the longest time was baseball thought soccer was too boring.
Right.
Can we?
Right.
Somebody who is a legitimate point. Fan of both games, played both games in high school, as somebody who is a legitimate fan, I cannot get past the irony of people who like baseball and don't like soccer.
The ebb and flow of soccer, you really have to understand to make it exciting. Because there's no, if you're just watching a game, you're like, what the fuck is even going on? Like, they're not even getting close to the goal. You have to kind of understand it to even think it's exciting because,
you got to understand the rules.
You gotta understand the rules.
If you don't understand the rules, you're freaking lost. Yeah, you're freaking lost. I mean, it's athleticism, don't get me wrong, but if you don't understand the rules, what the hell?
It's basically chess and football's checkers. Football's like violent checkers. And then,
I remember the thing that was crazy to me when I first started playing soccer because, I really didn't. When I started to get into high school, I really didn't think about the actual athleticism when you're playing at higher levels that it requires to play soccer. And then their first day, freshman year, coach is like, all right, come on, we're going to go run 5 miles. And that was the start of practice.
Right. The conditioning and the Like it's yeah, obviously your feet because you kick the ball, but like just the, those dudes' footwork is unreal. It's out of this world. Like just, you know, it's like hand-eye coordination, except for your, I mean, it's just craziness. I like watching soccer. I'm not gonna like, I just don't know what's going on. You know, I don't know anything. I know like two players and I don't fucking like, it's never on TV, so I don't watch it, but like it's enjoyable.
All right, Seven, how much of the World Cup did you watch today?
I watched the end of the England and Iran game, which it will, if it wasn't for that last goal that Iran scored, some people might have called that game a hate crime because England just kicked the shit out of Iran. Like it was painful to watch at times. But
I saw that game was on in Iran.
Solid match today between the U.S. and Wales, though. Score ended up tied between the U.S. and Wales, 1-1. United States started really strong in the first half. There was a lot of energy. They were moving the ball really well. The quickness and the footwork were exactly what it needed to be. And the U.S. was doing really well, despite the fact that they had two yellow cards in the first 15 minutes of play. Ended up getting his goal in the 36th minute. Beautiful, beautiful goal. Almost benefited off of an own goal very, very early in the game as well. The first half was very active as far as the U.S. was concerned. Second half was kind of the exact opposite to me. The Wales team was a lot more aggressive, and the U.S. team seemed to just let them be. Not a lot. And I don't know if maybe it was just because of all of the travel that they've had and everything, they just got gassed, but there was not a lot of energy in that U.S. side in the second half. And there was a lot of guys going out because of like cramps and injuries and stuff like that. At least they really crumbled, especially in the last 20 minutes of play. It was rough.
Interesting.
Man, like I said, I didn't watch it. I was at work.
You wouldn't watch it.
I definitely gotta start checking out this game for sure.
The team that USA fielded this year for the World Cup is one of the younger teams that I've seen. But we're still benefiting from the fact that all of these guys at least play in the MLS, which is a much higher quality of a game than it was 10 years ago. And that's what I hope that, you know, anybody that watches soccer in the U.S. that focuses on the Premier League, I understand. I'm a Manchester United fan, but that's pretty much that. That's most of what I watch. But the MLS game has definitely improved in the last decade because of the money that's there. Some of the guys, some of the Premier League guys and some of the bigger international names have come over to the U.S. and left their impact on the game in making some of the younger players better. That has in turn made the game in the U.S. better. So there's a lot of talent on that squad, and especially these younger guys that have a future, and most of them are already in game-ready shape because they've been playing in the Premier League. So this is a great time to get behind Team USA as they make a push. I like their chances. I don't know that the squad is quite there, but I will tell you that this is going to be a good year to watch World Cup soccer.
Tony, is there a blue card from an official in soccer? It's not a blue card. I know there's a red card.
Yellow and red.
Oh, I thought there was a blue one, and then it would say blue whales during it.
No.
No. Did I ever say blue whales? There's not a sperm card either, so there's no sperm
whales. No, there's no white card. No white card. No sperm whales.
Brian Bulaga is not an owner, so they're not the Bulaga whales.
God, man, you're forcing it like you're an assistant coach for Penn State.
I can't think of any other ones. I can't even, wow. Wow.
Oh, I'm going to hell.
I'm going to act like Joe Paterno.
Clip
like
I didn't that for that. Sure. I didn't hear that. Clip that for sure.
Oh, God.
Clip that for sure. You guys can also go over on TikTok and follow us over on our new TikTok channel.
What's TikTok?
Don't even go.
Will you explain to me how TikTok works?
It's Vine Sexier Sister.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Fair enough. I just like, I see a bunch of like young people doing like weird dances in front of it that they clearly don't want to be doing.
Yeah, that's the dumb part of TikTok.
Oh, okay. That's the part I want to see. All the dumb kids doing dumb dances that they clearly don't want to do.
Like, I think TikTok is great for you. You're going to see a revival of interest in fail videos again, which I think is fantastic. I'm still an avid supporter of Fail Army myself, but my favorite part of TikTok is just watching people eat shit doing various things. Like, it's just the best.
Like skateboarding and just walking into their kitchen.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the oil, like the vegetable oil thing where you just put vegetable oil like on linoleum and then you just have somebody walk into the kitchen? You just film it?
Or you get the sheet of saran wrap right at face level on the door. They don't see it. Just
I feel like both of those are not really that safe. Like the vegetable oil one, those people eat shit, dude, because they are just like walking like normal and they have no idea about what they're about to walk into. And like,
that's some broken tailbones. There's not some broken tailbones in those videos for sure.
Those are the ones you just don't see where somebody just hits their head so hard. They just like, they just start bleeding. And you're like, oh God, I think I killed them.
Yeah. That video's not online because it's in evidence.
It's a snuff film. Just became a snuff film.
So let's go ahead and kick it into the seventh inning stretch, because some interesting news developed tonight that we can talk about.
Oh, okay. Cool. We can do that for sure.
Why is he smiling like that?
What?
I know what he thinks he knows.
Here we go.
I want to be the best in the game. Invest in my name. Check no restraints. I'm obsessed with the pain. I ingest, I retain. Assess and I change. Possessed by the thought I'll be free one day from society's restraints.
All right, go ahead, Seven.
It was confirmed on Twitter through various pictures this evening and press releases from multiple baseball pages that Aaron Judge is in San Francisco for the next few days having a conversation with the Angels, or no, not the Angels, the Giants, about a possible time there. It also came out recently, another team that is actually considered a front runner for Aaron Judge, the Chicago Cubs, have moved into a position where we might see Aaron Judge in Wrigley Field a little bit more often than we originally expected.
It's
like, it's like he's in San Francisco with like his ex-girlfriend. And we're just like, that hoe ain't shit. Ooh, that
hoe ain't shit. What's up, Dark
San
Wizard?
Francisco.
What's up, man?
And we also have that the Yankees are one of four teams that have requested medical records on a pitcher that I think might be a big deal one day. His name's Jacob DeGrom. You might have heard of him.
It's pronounced DeGrom, I believe, but yes.
DeGrom.
I agree with you, Dot Lizard. He should stay with the Yankees. But at the same point, if he does leave and go somewhere else, it makes a hell of a story. And it's, keeps you even more engaged in the baseball season coming up next season.
And really quick, I want to put to bed a narrative that's been allowed to be floated around that I think is just fucking stupid. Aaron Judge is not going to leave the Yankees organization solely because of the fact that he got booed.
No.
If you think that is actually impacting his decision, you're wrong. I don't want to insult you and call you fucking stupid. That's my first instinct, but I'm trying to be a nicer person, trying to be somewhat approachable. You're not dumb. The idea is dumb. I'll put it like that.
That's coming from people too much putting themselves in that position.
Right.
And you can't do that. You're not Aaron Judge. You can sit there and say it's insulting or whatever, but it's not.
Here's the truth. As a professional athlete, day in and day out, you hear the most vile shit from people in the stands.
Especially playing in the outfield.
If you play in the outfield, home or away, you hear the most fucked up shit. Constantly. Now, and this is across any sport, honestly. And then when you add in the fact that he plays in one of the most difficult markets to be a home player in, which is New York City. Second, I think the only one that is harder is Boston. And I will acknowledge that Boston is rough. I admit that.
Snobbish. They're both snobbish for one. Like, they're very snobby about their baseball, even to their own
very
players.
Angry. Yeah, and very angry and aggressive about it. Yeah. And it's I get that it's passion, but in the Northeast, you've got 9 months of winter, so all you've got is your sports. But Aaron Judge is that's not the first time Aaron Judge has been booed in that stadium.
Oh, no.
No.
Into the 2021 season, when he was struggling and I was making a jackass of myself on this very show saying that he deserved to be sitting or he should be coming off the bench for a little bit. He was getting booed then. If getting booed was going to scare Aaron Judge away, he would already be gone.
Oh yeah.
During a season where he hit 39, you're talking about 2021. A season where he hit 39 home runs and had 98 RBIs, hit 265. Mm-hmm. That's not too bad. Almost a 400 on base percentage. Like it's totally about timing. Like the play in the playoffs, they're going to fucking boo everybody, especially if it's going badly. Like it just piles on top of itself. And then like it just piles on top of itself. And it doesn't matter who the fuck's up there. Babe Ruth could come back, resurrect himself, come back, call his shot. And if he strikes out, New York's going to boo that motherfucker.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Legends do die, babe.
Legends do die.
Legends do die, babe.
Quick, fast, and in a hurry.
That's the thing, though, is
quick, fast, and in a hurry, babe.
When you play as a home player in New York or Boston, you understand the hostile market you're in. You have to, or you won't stick around. And the thing of it is, you can't judge it solely on that. You just can't. Because it's just that environment is always volatile. I won't say that it's hostile. It's just volatile. That's just the way that it is. But it's also where you can make the most money. You can gain the most fame. You can build the most for your brand for after the game. If you are a presence in a New York or Boston uniform.
Yes.
The standard there is playoffs and championship or bust, regardless of the team. Yes, the Giants have been dog shit for 20 years, but guess what? Every year at the start of the season, guess what's expected of the Giants? I think the Jets are the only one where people have just kind of given up on.
We're going to talk about that, too.
Where am I wrong? Where am I wrong?
We're going to talk about that, seriously. Too.
But that market is just so hostile.
It's
Aaron Judge isn't leaving because of booze. If Aaron Judge leaves, it's because he wanted out of New York and to do something different. He wanted a different environment. I still do not believe in the front office of that organization. And I think if they were getting rid of Cashman and keeping Boone instead of keeping both of them, I think you would have more of a chance of keeping Aaron Judge than with keeping both of them. Honestly, so, I think that's what it is.
So you're saying that Judge is not on board with Cashman.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're
going to put yourself into a team for 10 years, you want to see a team that's got a future. And that's why the biggest teams that are in this are all teams that are building and looking towards being competitive over the next 10 years. And, you know, he wants to win. And that's what I think it's going to come down to. If Cashman and Boone can tell him, can give him a seat at the table when it comes to the way things are going, because he is the face, which I think is a reasonable request in that situation.
Absolutely.
Then, yeah, I like his chances of staying in New York. However, if he doesn't have faith in what Cashman and Boone are, what Cashman and, you know, Boone by extension are doing and how things are looking and progressing, Aaron Judge, I think, will end up in San Francisco.
So, So on that note, what do you think New York has to do? Just quickly, what do you think New York has to do if Judge goes? And I'm like, I've said it on the show before. I am okay with Judge going. I think that he should go. I actually love that dude. I think that he should go do whatever the fuck he wants to do. I'm not even like worried about him playing in San Francisco. That is what it is. And if we're gonna have to pay him that much money, it's like, it's almost like, if we do lose him, it's like, all right, well, now we have all this money. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's kind of a win-win.
Trout and DeGrom, just like, and honestly, when you mentioned that near the end of the season, I like the way that sounds. Honestly, I think for New York, I think that's a smart move. The Angels aren't going to trade Shohei until after Art Moreno sells the team, but Trout can get moved.
Yeah.
I think and still not hurt things because Shohei, there's so much potential with a player like Shohei because being a generational talent.
Right.
That's a piece that owners are going to like because that's a once in a life that's a once in a lifetime player.
Dude,
once in a century player.
He would love New York. He would love New York.
Actually, I was reading an article on MLB.com today that broke down all of the destinations for Shohei. Basically, every team in the league and where they rank. Boston and New York were both about the same, still top 10, like 7th and 8th.
Right.
My pick for where I think he goes if he doesn't go to Boston, the Braves, they were the 5th.
Interesting.
And number one team, New York Mets.
They're gonna throw the truck at him. Yeah, that's understandable.
But in the Mets and the Mariners are his two top destinations. Like that's
interesting.
The Mariners because they have a very happy, very heavy Japanese following, and
Northwest.
So it makes a lot of sense for them to want to pull somebody in like him because that can really pull at that market more. And as a small market team, when you can grab that outside market and dominate that a little bit, that's just extra money for your business. And
New York obviously has a huge Asian market too. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a huge Asian market as well.
And I think that's why you're going to see those two teams, the Mets and the Marlins. I think those are pretty respectable. I still like the Braves just because I think that Atlanta has shown that they're trying to stay in it. They're not just trying to coast like they know they can. They are trying to make the right moves. It almost feels like they're trying to get to the point where they can have like a 90-plus win season that's just really, really good baseball. And one of the ways you can do that is if you grab Shohei, that gives you a solid DH the days he's not pitching.
And a starting pitcher. You get an elite starting pitcher and a fucking elite left-handed power hitter in the same guy. That's craziness. That's one roster spot that you cover both bases on. That's why Shohei is the best player in Major League Baseball. Okay. Aaron Judge won the MVP and he should have. Like he was the MVP. But Shohei Ohtani is the best player in baseball. If anybody wants to argue with me on that, I don't think there's any question, right? I mean, because you can't even question it. If he was an okay pitcher, I'd be like, but he's a great pitcher.
I think that's one of the things that's the draw for Shohei Ohtani is he's not just somebody that can pitch and hit. He does both at an above average rate. He's not a Cy Young winning pitcher, but he's top 10.
I was going to say, didn't he finish in the top 5 or something this year?
I would say, yeah. And then he's not going to, I don't see him getting to the point where he wins a triple crown, but no. I could definitely see him top 5 for all three statistics.
Right. So elite on both sides. My only question with Shohei is like, he's going to wear out. So like you can't. I don't think
you've got
he
about
can
5 years left of him on the
right.
Round.
I was gonna say like right, he's gonna be a DH for most of his career.
Yeah,
which is gonna be long and illustrious, I'm sure. If you but sign, like,
Shohei will get a 15-year. Damn, Shohei will get a 15-year deal.
How old is he?
Early 20s. He's younger.
Is he? Okay, yeah. I thought he's like 25 or something like that. But yeah,
he'll get. But even then,
yeah.
We'll get a 15-year deal because there will be opt-outs at like starting at like year 11.
So my last thing on the Yankees thing, a lot of stuff I've been reading. No, if you don't get Judge, you have to go one of the shortstops. So you have to go either Carlos Correa or Trey Turner, and then you have to get one of those big name pitchers. So you have to go DeGrom. So what do you think about like Correa DeGrom? And you lose Judge, you go Correa DeGrom. That's okay with me too. I don't need Trout.
You should still try and grab Trout along with both of those. Honestly, I think.
Oh, all three. Yes, please.
I mean, realistically, you should be gunning for all three, but two of the three is a minimum expectation. And I think that now that Correa is going to be willing to do a decent deal as long as it's in the end he's going to get paid, because he's out from the agents that he had when he left the Astros. Now, the deal that he signed with the Twins, that was a 1 year, that was a 3 year deal with an opt out after year one. That was so that he could get out from under the agents that he had that wrote that deal that had to get paid. Now that he's moved on and everything is completely away from that, and he's on a fresh start with this deal, we're going to see him go for a long-term deal. And so this is the perfect opportunity. Regardless, I don't care if this is going for Correa or Turner, but I think Correa would honestly be a better fit in the Yankees because he's younger, that attitude and all of that. Turner's going to have to shave a lot of hair, and those Janes in LA are going to get really clogged before he comes in. I don't think that's going to work out for everybody.
You can ask Harrison Bader to do that, but you ain't asking fucking Trey doing his fucking Wolf of Wall Street speeches and shit.
Yep. And that's why I like the idea of, for the Yankees, objectively, I like the idea of Correa. As a Red Sox fan, I think it's fucking horrible. I don't want it to happen. Right. That's because I think it would work really well for that.
They should get nobody. They should just re-sign Josh Donaldson and that's it. And just go all farm just system.
Bring Jay Buhner out of retirement and put him at shortstop.
Buhner, there you go. Yes, I love it. Ripken will come back and play for him.
He'll
play third. He'll play third.
Get Ichiro out of retirement. Get Ichiro out of retirement to go play in the outfield.
We'll go get Cano from his summer landing spot. He's on the beach somewhere. We'll go grab him. He'll play second.
Go grab Bartolo Colon out of those South American leaves to be your closer. You'll be all right for your pitcher there.
And we'll play every game at the Field of Dreams.
You know what? You guys really should have. Like, it's too bad you don't have a young pitcher. Like, you know, Garrett Whitlock of the Red Sox. You know, he would have been a great young pitcher.
That's hilarious.
For that Yankees team,
so hilarious. Mm. Who's Garrett Whitlock again?
You mean that player that Boston got in the Rule 5 draft from? Hold on, I'm checking my notes. Yankees.
I've never
heard of the Yankees.
About that.
Oh, holy shit!
That's a Topps Chrome Gold Garrett Whitlock right there, out of 10.
Yep.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It is beautiful. It was in your thing right there, but no $300 cards for Tony.
What a bitch.
All right, guys, let's go ahead.
Tony instead gets this Nebraska volleyball autographed volleyball, 1999. There you go. That's for you. That's for Tony.
I don't need any more dog toys.
Just chew it up.
Oh my goodness. All right, everybody. Let's go ahead and move on to, thank you for that, Seven. We appreciate you. Let's go ahead.
Oh, really quick. I want to promote something really quick. So Thursday morning, I am going to be doing a charity flag football game. We are raising money for we're gonna be doing a fundraiser. All the proceeds go to Toys for Tots. I will have video of me owning the run game.
Tony, please play quarterback. Or
oh God, no! I'm like, because I'm gonna play both sides, so I'm thinking probably like tight end during on the offensive side.
There's no tight end in flag football.
Yes, there is.
You're gonna have to play receiver, or you're gonna have to play quarterback, and it's gonna be messy either way.
I'm gonna be like the check down receiver. I'm not.
Yes.
If I've run 10 yards, somebody fucked up. That's what I'm saying.
You're the center guy that like side hikes it and then blocks the blitzer. That's you. That's fucking you all day. That's you all day. Oh my goodness.
But I will put my cash tag up at the end of the show. If you guys would like to donate, all the proceeds are going to Toys for Tots. And like I said, there will be video for you guys to make fun of and pictures. I will be posting on my Facebook, and then we will have them next week on Monday night's episode of Sports Report so that we can go through professional analysis of my NFL capabilities.
Yes, that's amazing. That's where most of the donations are going to come in at, from that entertainment right there.
He said professional analysis.
We're going to break it down like John Madden. Be like, Tony's going to go here. Boom. Tony's going over
and
here.
He's going to trip on the field. Boom.
He's right tripping the flat. And then they go triple. And then they trip over his own feet.
This is where he has an asthma attack. Boom.
He's an asthma attack.
Tony's right there laying on the ground. He has an asthma attack. Boom.
That quarterback called him on a wheel route. He didn't know the wheel route, man. He was going to his car to smoke a bowl.
His legs are right here. His legs are right here, and his lungs are over here. Boom.
Yeah, very possible he could go to the Giants. Very possible.
Right, you are correct, Dark Lizard. Yeah, that's the rumor.
Yeah, a good possibility. It'll make a hell of a story. That's for sure. To keep everybody in the media talking for a minute. Mm-hmm. All right, gang. Let's go ahead and get into the NBA.
Here would it be a giant story?
All right, let's go ahead and bring in Dan the Deep with his the NBA analysis, scores, and highlights. What's up, man? What you got?
Oh, you caught me off guard. I'm just kidding. The Cleveland Cavaliers. I feel like I start every NBA session with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and here's the thing. So all these teams we talk about that are like the Utah Jazz, who we thought just were mailing it in. We thought they were just going for Wembanyama, right? That's just Wembanyama fishing. They're going to go tank out so they can get the 7-2 freak from France, right? Or he's from, yeah, France. But no, he's from Greece or whatever. He's French. We thought they were going to tank out. They're doing well. It's all these teams that are like, we didn't think we're going to do well, doing well. Sacramento. All those teams are fakers, right? And Cleveland is for real. I'm telling you right now, the Cleveland Cavaliers are for real. And it's because of Donovan Mitchell, dude. It's because of Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell has catapulted himself into, he is a top five NBA player at this point. Okay. And Donovan Mitchell is a top five NBA player. He's probably four or five right now and best players in the NBA. And it's weird because like in Utah, it was like he had Gobert clogging up the lane, and the Cleveland Cavaliers are just letting Donovan Mitchell be Donovan Mitchell, like what he was supposed to be. Essentially, and it is fucking beautiful. This guy is a fucking freak, dude. Like he is a great player, great shooter. A lot of people didn't know about him. Like the dude shoots 40% from three. I think he's shooting 39% right now from three. One of the best dribble penetrators the game has ever seen from the beginning of his career.
Listen to these stats on Donovan Mitchell: 29.9 points per game. So basically, 30 a game, 5.8 assists per game. And he's leading the team in both of those categories. He's also leading the team in steals at 1.4 steals per game.
Yeah.
And he's also averaging about 4.5 rebounds a game as well. Like Donovan Mitchell is playing the entire court while averaging 38.1 minutes per game, which means he's basically playing the entire game. That's some fantastic.
Yeah, just about. Yeah. Yeah.
40 is considered like basically top, like the top of the line that you want to play a guy a game. Like you want to give him at least 8 minutes during the game. It's usually beginning of the second quarter, and then you'll give him like late third, and you'll give him about 4 minutes in there to, right? And that's LeBron was playing a couple of years ago. He's with the Cavs, was playing like 41. That, yeah. It was something stupid, right? So like you don't want him playing anything over 40. That's ridiculous. And that just means you don't have any depth. But like him and Darius Garland in that backcourt, we're starting to see that dude come into his own. Evan Mobley is a 7-footer from out of USC, Southern Cal, long, athletic, strong. He's coming into his own, high draft pick, obviously. Like they're just like timing. And Kevin Love is still on that roster. Okay. So Kevin Love comes off the bench, and that's just some veteran, just big man shooting. Right. And Kevin Love is crafty as shit at this point. Like he knows exactly what the fuck he's doing. They're playing really well. They're the only one out of those teams. My point is they're the only one out of these teams that we didn't think were going to be good. That is actually legitimate. I think that the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to make a considerably deep Eastern Conference run. I think they're going to play in the Eastern Conference finals. I think, I think that's how good that the Cleveland Cavaliers are compared to what I've seen from the East at this point. Cause I don't know. Because Brooklyn, fuck knows where that shit show is headed. Like, we don't even know if that thing's on the rails at this point. Obviously, they have more talent, technically. They have more talent, I guess. But they're just a shit show. And then just the East is kind of like wide open at this point. Like the, obviously you have the Bucks.
Well, you got to give Brooklyn props. We got to give Brooklyn props, though. They won the last two. Ben Simmons has been showing up as of late.
He's finding his groove for real. You know, and that makes me happy. So,
you know, and considering the fact that he didn't have to play, he didn't have to really, I mean, I'm not saying don't look for your shot when you have it, but at the same point, you're a distributor and a defender. Kyrie's back now, from what I understand. And when he's in the game, he's basically a distributor and a defender. And that's all Ben Simmons really has to do.
Yes. Yep.
And the other thing that I think is great for Ben Simmons is we've seen in these last couple of games, they've put him, his opponents have intentionally put him into some late game free throw situations. And he has handled it. And this is what I'm talking about, you know. And I think that this is why we're seeing that the team has maintained confidence in Ben Simmons, because they could see that he was working on it. And, you know, the media is going to have their own images and people are going to be pissed off because of how long they think it's going to take for him to find that groove.
Right.
But I mean, it's different for everybody. And like we talked about, Philly broke that man.
Sure about it. You were on talking about somebody being booed and being broken. That ain't Judge.
No.
Philly broke that man.
They broke him.
And the reason, because here's the thing, he played in Philly. He knew Philly fans. It was not the Philly fans that broke Ben Simmons. It was the Philly team that broke Ben Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to be clear on that.
Oh, yeah.
And now that he is surrounded by professionals that actually have been trying to build him up, he's not at the peak of what he was at.
So are you blaming
in the Sixers? But
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Are you blaming? Are you blaming this on like Joel Embiid and those guys?
I'm blaming it on Rivers.
So the coaching staff.
More. Rivers in the front office. Yeah. Rivers in the front office.
Absolutely.
By all accounts, Joel Embiid and the rest of that team were actually very supportive of Vincent. So, like, he got kind of fucked by that front office, and that coaching staff was kind of the issue. And, like, so, like, Joel Embiid was actually very, like, very cool about it the whole time. It was like, I don't know, man. Like, you know, I don't know what's going on. Like, I can't do the Joel Embiid accent, the Cameroon accent, But he was basically really cool about it. And so I don't know if that was the team. I thought you meant like the team, but like, yes, the Doc Rivers. Yeah. Like that. They just basically said like, oh, you don't need, like, you're fine. Like suck it up, rub some dirt in it. Right. That was kind of like what I got out of it.
They threw him under the bus and then acted like it wasn't a big deal.
I agree.
You don't do that to a team member.
I agree.
No.
Lakers are winning games without LeBron.
I was waiting for somebody to bring it up. I was waiting for somebody to bring
that?
It up.
What do you think about that, Dan?
No, I was going to bring it up if somebody wasn't going to. That just shows you how fucked that chemistry is, man. Seriously, that shows you how fucking stupid that chemistry is. It really does. It really does. Like LeBron's not a detriment to the team. He looks like a detriment to the team when he just doesn't play and AD goes for 38, 16, and 5 like he had last night.
Yep.
And Russell Westbrook can hit a fucking three and he's playing in transition. And it's like, you guys could do this while LeBron's on the floor. You're not doing it because LeBron, honestly, at this point, like, I think LeBron James is fucking up the chemistry. I think it's either Russ or LeBron. And when the other one plays and the other one doesn't, they seem to do better. So like, I don't know if here's a hot take for you. We usually do hot takes at the beginning of this. I'll give you a hot take right now. I think Russell Westbrook is going to be on the Los Angeles Lakers longer than LeBron James.
Hot take.
And hold on. Wait.
I'll say that again.
I want to make sure. Folks. I want to make sure that I understand this correctly here. You are saying that you think the person who you said until they were traded away, the season doesn't begin.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook himself, you think that he is going to be on the Lakers longer than LeBron James?
Yeah, I never said that I think that that's right. I said that I think that that is what's going to happen. I think that our season wouldn't begin until Westbrook was gone. But how this is going, I think that this is a straight mutiny job from the inside and Jeannie Buss.
He says straight mutiny.
It is a straight. I think it's a straight mutiny job. I think that Darvin Ham is a mutiny captain on a gigantic Lakers pirate ship. And he is just running an underground LeBron mutiny because I think Jeannie Buss is done with LeBron and she doesn't want to say it because she doesn't have the balls to.
Then why did they re-sign him in the offseason? That's my question.
They signed him to a 1 year. It's a 1 year. It's a 1 year with an option for a second year. That's a player option. I think that they're trying to run. I think they're trying to run LeBron James out of town at this point. I think that they think he's done, or that his encapsulation of superstardom, which has always follows LeBron, is too much for what they're trying to do, which is understandable. Like, you got to be realistic at that point. Like, if that's not what you guys want to do anymore, and you think that an aging LeBron James is actually a detriment to your team, then fucking get rid of him. I think that Russell Westbrook, that's my hot take. And will it happen? Probably not. But that's my hot take. I think Russell Westbrook might be in Los Angeles longer than LeBron James.
So then let me ask you this. Do the Lakers trade LeBron rather than Westbrook to get their season going?
If the Lakers trade LeBron, it won't be the Lakers trading LeBron. It will be LeBron trading LeBron because LeBron has no trade. It will, because LeBron has no trade.
Because he has no trade.
He controls everything that happens to him roster-wise. So if he wants to leave, he's going to leave. And if he smells mutiny like I do, because I know way less than he does, and if he smells mutiny, it's on. He's going to force a trade, or he's just going to opt out. After this year, he's going to opt out, or they'll just – you know, buy him out, whatever the fuck. His contracts are weird as shit. Dude, he can pretty much do whatever the fuck he wants. So if he thinks that that's what's going on and Russell Westbrook is still there and they're just going to tank out this season, then yeah, he might trade himself. Honestly, man. That's my hot take. You know, I know it's weird. It sounds weird, but
he could trade himself to the Phoenix Suns and the Suns would be able to put a nice trade package in, send Jay Crowder back over with some picks.
So finally, there could be a leader on that team.
And that's Dan.
That would be, yeah.
That's your hot take for the night, sir.
I have another hot take.
We got another one.
No, not again.
One of the World Cup played again.
Play again?
Okay. One of the World Cup games will end in a tie. That's a hot take.
That's a hot take,
like a motherfucker.
Woo! Yay.
Don't touch it. Oh, it already happened? Shit. Aaron Judge will opt into free agency. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Hot take. Woo! Yeah. You guys are welcome. Bacon grease hot over here. With all these takes. There's a hot take for you guys.
That Luka kid is doing good. Hey,
he's pretty fucking good, huh, Dark Lizard? Lying. That is a fucking hot as a shit take right there, man. Tell you what. That dude is pretty fucking good.
Oh, my gosh.
That Doncic fella. Saw his dad the other day for the first time. Never seen his dad before. Looks exactly fucking like him. It's going to be Luka at 50. Like, you can just tell. It's hilarious.
His dad
was at a game. Yeah, his dad doesn't care. His dad's from some weird country called Lithuania. No. But, like, yeah, he, no, he's there. He does never, like, come to squash.
I thought you were talking about Nate Wright.
Isn't that the country where the villain from the Fantastic Four is from?
Lithuania? No.
Yeah, Lithuania.
You talking about Dr. Doom.
Yeah, isn't that where Dr. Doom is from? Is Lithuania?
No, Latveria.
Oh, Latveria. Okay.
Which is like a a weird comic booky version of Latvia.
And the thing that kills me, and the thing that kills me is, evil as he is, everybody in his country loves him. That's the thing that be killing me. That's that's the most evil jokers ever. But everybody in the country loves him. So
he's based on Donald Trump then.
This is 15 years ago.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, that's
Oh my goodness gracious. Anything else in the association we need to go over before we move on to the huddle?
Yeah, Luca's not from Lithuania. He's from
what's called name?
God damn it.
Austria?
No, it's God damn it. It's gonna kill me now. It's not
Slovenia.
Slovenia, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dark Lizard.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Dark Lizard. Appreciate you, bro.
Oh, thank you. Dark Lizard, we're looking for helping out. We're looking for a
We have one. She's probably gonna start next week.
Oh yay.
Dark Lizard from the Discord helping out. All right, guys, let's go ahead. I got a lot to say about this week in the NFL. We have some barn burner games. Me and Seven about to get into a disagreement. So let me go ahead and just hit the cue for the huddle. We'll go from there. Okay.
So to I'm gonna let you get started and be wrong, and then I will correct you here in just a minute. So you go ahead.
To me, guys.
Shuts the screen off like a.
And it shuts the screen off on me. Like that's like dropping a mic on your boy. But to me, guys, yesterday, Dallas going up, putting that whooping without a switch on the Minnesota Vikings yesterday. That is an ass whipping amongst ass whipping. 40-3. That's an ass whipping.
Best road win in Dallas Cowboys history.
Now y'all gonna tell me Kirk Cousins is all that? No, he ain't all.
He's still
that.
A top.
You know why he's not all that? Because this is what Kirk Cousins does. This is what he does. At least in my opinion, every now and again he'll rise to the occasion like he did in Buffalo. He'll beat the teams he's supposed to beat, but when it's time, they needed this game. And when it was time for him to show through, and this one against the Cowboys, which is a rivalry also, Kirk didn't show.
Kirk Cousins got a lot of Romo in him, Will.
Kirk didn't show. So all so why I agree with 70, he's a serviceable quarterback in that system. I just don't think he's all that. I just don't think he's.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying but it is something to say that in that system he is running it like a G, though. You know what I'm saying? Like there is something to say about that because I don't think anybody can just step in there.
Good system quarterback, but I'm just saying in terms of somebody who's supposed to put you over the top.
Yes.
Day in and day out. He doesn't have it.
He
don't have it. I don't think that he's that person. I don't think he's that guy. But again, he'll get you through the regular season, possibly to the playoffs. But when it comes time to really step up and show that it factor, for whatever reason, something holds him back. For whatever reason, he doesn't get it done. And
that's a hot take, Will.
Josie's gonna kick my ass.
That's so good. I'm sorry.
Will you play that 8 times?
We're gonna play it more.
Okay,
but I just don't think Kurt's that dude. He just doesn't have that it factor. If you need somebody to get you through regular season, maybe to run a playoff round, okay, you fine with Kurt. But to me, he just ain't that guy. And I'll let you go on that, Seven.
All right. Kurt Five Chains Cousins. Five Chains currently has the Minnesota Vikings and an 8-2 record. Now,
Five Chains.
I know that anything can happen, but the second team in their division the Dan Campbell Lions, because nobody gives a fuck about the city of Detroit. House the Dan Campbell Lions are 4-6 and clearly not going to be able to make a push this year. Now, they are – I like the Lions as a sidebar. I do like the Lions are making a lot of progress. Dan Campbell's working his ass off there.
But yeah, he is.
It's not this year. Kirk Cousins has gotten that team to an 8-2 record, second in the NFC behind the 9-1 Philadelphia Eagles. He has brought them back from multiple double-digit deficits to win games. He brought them back just... Let me make sure I'm looking at this right. Yeah, okay. Just last week, he brought them back from being down by 17 to the Buffalo Bills.
So, Tony, you're
saying... win that game 33-30. Now, don't get me wrong. This is a bad loss. This is a bad loss, but this is only their second loss of the season.
It's an anomaly.
It's an anomaly. They win games. They come back. Kirk Cousins is not the best quarterback in the NFL. He is not on par with Patrick Mahomes.
You like that?
But Kirk Cousins can win you football games and get you to at least the divisional round of the playoffs.
You like that? I do like that. So on one side, Will is saying that this is a proof that Cousins is just kind of a bum in Wolf's clothing and Lion's clothing. And Tony, you're saying it's an anomaly. That this
It is an anomaly. And that's the thing, because you can't look at the Bills' loss, how the Bills lost that game is an anomaly, because Josh Allen has thrown the most red zone touchdowns in the league this year.
But to counteract what you just said, let me about the record, let me interest you in this. Week one, Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Win. We know where Green Bay is right now. Right. Week two, loss to the Eagles. Okay. Possibly the best
that
team
really
in football.
Jalen hurt them.
Possibly the best team in football. Possibly. Didn't look at week three, the Detroit Lions. Okay, you gonna hang your hat on that. Week four, my Saints. We got
you
issues.
Ain't lying.
Okay. Hi. My Saints. You gonna hang your hat on that. Then you got the Bears. You gonna hang your hat on that. Then you got the Miami Dolphins. Okay.
And here's the thing. I will take the Bears and the Dolphins as quality wins because of, especially even now, the way that those teams are developing. What we see out of those teams. The Dolphins are another one of those teams that are not the best team in the NFL, but they are competitive. The Bears are not the best team in the NFL, but Justin Fields is coming into his own. That defense is starting to learn their ass from a hole in the ground. They are getting better. These are not slouch teams. Like, I'm more impressed with beating the Bears than I am the Saints. Sorry, Will, but that's just the truth.
But I'm just saying, when you look at this schedule, they've played two quality teams in Philly and Dallas and lost both. They got embarrassed by playing both. Because you lost 24-7 against Philly and you lose 40-3 to Dallas.
You're right, but you also have the Cardinals. Well, you know, I know that I'm definitely one that I am a hard ass when it comes to Kingsbury.
You got it right the first time.
When it comes to Cliff Dingleberry, but that's not a bad team. The Commanders are one of those where, like, I love Taylor Heineke. I love the swag that he's got, but they're not at that level yet. Now,
playing better,
they are playing better, obviously. Mm-hmm. Heineke's getting some new Jordans almost every week again. Yep. The truth of the matter is the back end of the schedule is really going to be telling for the type of team that we're going to see out of the Minnesota Vikings. Because you got at home, you got the Patriots at home, and then the Jets at home, and then you go to Detroit. You have the Colts and the Giants at home, Packers and Bears again to wrap up the season.
Mm-hmm.
So this part of the schedule from the Cowboys on is harder than from the Bills and earlier. So this will be the true telling of what type of a team the Vikings really are this year. I will say that. But right now, I like Kirk Cousins.
I gotta be. I like Davis Mills.
They got and to make it so bad was disappointing yesterday. Once one of their linemen got hurt yesterday, the floodgate just opened. Mm-hmm. But you see, they
and
got
that's
the
one
talent.
Of their weaknesses.
But you see, they got the talent. You got Dalvin Cook. You got Justin Jefferson. They got the talent there.
Yeah.
Maybe yesterday was just a bad day. Maybe I'm overthinking things. But I just don't think Kirk has ever been that dude. Now, is he top? He's not top five. Is he top 10?
He's top 10.
I'll buy top 10. But I'm not buying top five. But top 10, I'll buy that.
No, and that's the thing. I wouldn't put him top five either. Not right now. I mean, there's even such a clear separation between Patrick Mahomes and everybody else at this point. It's mm-hmm. ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But he's top 10.
Yeah. Who would you guys rather have? Him or Carr?
I'm taking Kirk Cousins all day.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I like David Carr in that.
Derek. I think the system matters. Because with both of those quarterbacks, even as a Chiefs fan, Carr is a talented quarterback. But it's just a matter of getting the right system to utilize him and making sure that you have a line that's going to give him a pocket long enough to let the routes develop that he's going to throw.
Correct because if I'm wrong, Will.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Sorry. Will, you're basically just saying, and I think I agree with you, it doesn't matter until Kirk Cousins gets in the playoffs at this point.
It don't matter because he's mad.
Well, and he's the regular season. He's just, they've done this before. Mm-hmm. This isn't the first time they've been 8-2 in the last 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the third time.
He's like a tease. He'll tease you until it's time to come up big. And when it's time to come up big, then that's when the roof falls. That's when the roof come off.
He got a lot of Chris Paul. Got a lot of Chris Paul in him. A lot of Tony Romo in him for real.
Yeah. No, it's I think the reason it's harder for him to counter the Romo-esque because the Romo comparison, but I think the difference is I think Romo knows the game better. I think even when Romo was a quarterback, Romo knew the game better than Kirk Cousins knows now. And I think that's honestly one of his weaknesses because as far as throwing accuracy, Kirk Cousins can put it on a dime. You need a back shoulder throw, guess where it's going. But at the same time, his decision-making and his awareness are his weak points. Tony Romo didn't have a line, so he didn't have time to show what he knew about the game.
I think in too many
situations.
I don't think Tony Romo likes the lights in that sense. I don't think he likes being the one performing in the lights. I think he likes being under the lights calling a game. Obviously, he's very, very good at that.
But as a player, Kirk Cousins doesn't have the best primetime record.
Right.
So that's a valid statement.
Like Will and I said earlier, I just don't think Kirk Cousins has it. I think Romo had more it. Than Cousins does. He just doesn't Romo would scramble and make these. When's the last memorable Kirk Cousins play you saw besides him throwing a 15-yard in to Justin Jefferson and Jefferson making a move to take it to the house? That's handing it to Dalvin Cook.
He's definitely not a flash and flare type of quarterback. You're going to get he's going to do exactly what you need him to do. And that's it.
You need a little bit of that playmaker flash mm-hmm. and flare mentality because at some point in the playoffs your quarterback is going to have to make a play where everybody goes, how in the fuck did he do that?
Exactly.
And Kirk Cousins doesn't have been that guy. You can't just chug along, like Manning didn't really have that. Like Manning never had the holy shit is Peyton Manning doing that, but like Manning just did it consistently to where when the game was over, you were like, holy shit, Peyton Manning did that, right?
Manning played the long game.
Peyton was a student of the game, so he knew where everybody was going to be. He knew where everybody was going to line up. He knew where people were going to be. So that makes him different than other players.
That's why I brought up the game knowledge of Kirk Cousins, because if he had that elevated knowledge, I think we do see a slightly – I think we at least see – 10 to 20% better performance out of Kirk Cousins.
Right.
I'm on the other side of that. I think that Cousins doesn't have the talent. I think that he probably has the knowledge. I think that he knows that playbook. At this point, he's got to know that playbook front to back.
As long as he's been there, on memory.
I think that he has the game part down. Maybe he just isn't as talented. Like, I think he's a fucking backup quarterback talent wise. And I think that he just knows that system really well. And so like, it's just working for him. Cause I don't think talent wise, like you said, like he's accurate. Yeah, he's accurate. Doesn't have a live arm by any stretch of the imagination. Right. I mean, I'd say it's average for the NFL. Yeah. There's not, you know, I think he just knows the game. I think it's more that he knows the game and he doesn't have the talent maybe. And that's where that factor comes from, is the talent.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because he got weapons all over the field. TJ Hockenson, talent all over the field on the offensive side of the football.
Good God.
Go look at the roster. How much starting talent he's got on that team?
Imagine Justin Fields on that with that roster.
Man, don't even go there with me.
I mean, seriously, that's a top 10. That's top 10.
Dude, Justin Fields.
He could at least do what Cousins is doing with it, but I think he takes it a step further because he can run. Because of his legs. Yeah. Because
he can run. Yeah.
Imagine Justin Herbert with that. That's what I'm saying more is like, because Justin Herbert's more set to that like style. Oh, yeah, yeah, I don't know if Fields is where he would be changing some
of that system if Fields comes in, but you could leave more the same if you bring Herbert into that spot. And with how things are going in the Chargers, they may actually decide that Herbert's not right for them because they can't seem to get there. And so
I don't think that maybe happens. I don't think that happens. I just think he's too much of a talent, man.
He's a Charger for at least 5 more years.
Six foot five. And don't mind running the football.
When we look at the Chargers and Chiefs game, I'm going to say this and I'm going to get on the soapbox and I'm going to say it because there's a lot of people that disagree with me, but go ahead.
Oh, you want me to play it? Okay.
I figured you were going to.
Go ahead.
Justin Herbert is not the reason the Chargers lost to the Chiefs last night.
No.
That defense and that offensive line are why the Chargers lost last night. Here's the thing. If you were to take Chiefs Super Bowl footage against the Bucs for offense and Chargers footage from last night for offense and put them side by side, you're going to see the same fucking problems. That line couldn't stop shit. Justin Herbert got sacked more times last night than he has in any game in his career.
Mm-hmm.
That defense was getting picked apart by Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
You can't blame him for that.
I can understand it, but Kansas City ran last night. Isaiah Pacheco had over 60 yards last night.
That dude's a stud.
And McKinnon was
running the football last night.
McKinnon was running really well. I mean, at one point he was averaging over 5 yards a carry. I don't know what he finished at. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but McKinnon had a great game last night. Isaiah Pacheco had a great game last night. Sky Moore got involved. That offense was firing on all cylinders. And the one shining light, and I was talking with Dan about this last night, and I'll let Dan kind of talk about him more. Derwin James was stellar last night.
My favorite player in the NFL.
But you saw something last night from him, particularly on that last play.
Yes.
He got picked on that last play.
Yeah,
he got picked. And that was a brilliant play call. And another thing, too, about that game, I'll say, Chargers left Patrick Mahomes too much time on the clock. That was just
I said the same thing. I was like, you cannot give him over 2 minutes, bro.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I said, I actually, I told Tony they should fucking kneel the ball. I said they should start kneeling in the 10-yard line and run it down. Because you don't give him two, it was like 2 minutes and 38 seconds. Way too long. Way too long. You need to run it down. Like, I know that you don't know if you're going to score or not. It was
148. He had 148 left when he took the field.
That's too much.
You got to run it down, dude.
But here's the thing. You can't fault teams for this because Patrick Mahomes has proven that 13 seconds is too long.
And scoring is not an afterthought either.
Right. Because if you go back, in that game, you saw a pass breakup, I think in the second quarter, a pass play that got broke up in the end zone. If San Diego capitalizes on that play, it's a whole different ball game. Yeah. You got the score. You got to maximize your offense in order to beat the Chiefs. Because if you leave them too much time on the clock, man.
You can't leave Mahomes too much time if you don't score.
You
can't
do that. And you got the score.
You can't leave him too much time. You have
to. And you got the score. Yesterday, the Chiefs. Let me see real quick. Jarrett McKinnon was 6 for 24. Patrick Mahomes was 4 of 23. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's now afterthought, was 2 of 9.
He got hurt early in that game.
Yeah,
Pacheco was.
But he's been an afterthought though. Lately, he's been in the doghouse.
Pacheco took a spot, dude. Pacheco took it from underneath him.
Yeah. And I'm gonna say this real quick. We don't talk about it much on this show, but from a fantasy football perspective, fuck you, Kadarius Toney. I picked you up from free agency on that team, and the fool got hurt, and the fool gets hurt. Fuck you,
sir. That's aggressive.
The dude said he was healthy when he came over from the Giants. He said he was healthy. He comes over here, gets in this game, and he's hurt. Fuck man, you.
You're going to sit there as a 45-year-old biracial angel and not tell me that you could wake up one day feeling great and the next day your ass is fucked. You can't tell me that doesn't happen.
He shouldn't have played.
He got injured in the game.
He should have played if he was feeling that shit. Fuck him.
He was injured during the game. Like, that's not his fault.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you. I'll tell you this right now. It was set up for him perfect because you had no Juju Smith-Schuster, none.
Yeah,
you had no Mecole Hardman, none. It was set up for you perfect. And the reason why Travis Kelce did what he did, because they really had no choice. MVS wasn't doing anything. Sky Moore caught a couple of passes to move the offensive line. But past that,
and here's the thing. The mistake that the Chargers made last night with Derwin James was they took him off of Travis Kelce.
Yep.
Travis Kelce at one point in the third quarter, midway through the third quarter, Travis Kelce was 1 of 4 with 4 yards receiving when Derwin James was guarding him, but 3 of 4 with 62 yards receiving when it was anybody else on that defense.
Derwin James would have been all over him the whole game. That would have been me.
Derwin James.
James on Travis Kelce the whole night.
Whole game. This is your job. This is your assignment. This is what you get paid for.
Dude, that hold at the end, though, and the hold at the end and the touchdown he got picked on was also, like, you could tell that he was gassed, though.
It was exhaustion.
He cannot be chasing Travis Kelce. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it'd be great. Like, full speed. Yeah, I'm taking Derwin James a lot of that matchup. But you can't, like, Kelce knows where he's going. So, like, Derwin James is chasing him around. He's gassed out. He's getting picked by fucking Andy Reid plays. Good luck with that fucking shit. Right. And like, you're getting Andy Reid play calls with chasing Travis Kelce around, who's deceptively fast. Me and Tony were talking about this last night. He's deceptively fast. He's got great feet. He fucking runs awesome routes because he knows exactly where fucking Patrick Mahomes wants to throw the ball to him. So like, they're just on such a good, like, him and Mahomes have a connection at this point. And like, and the Andy Reid play calling, like, good fucking luck. Good luck to anybody trying to do that. In Derwin James' position, and he needed the best he could, and like, he was just gassed in that game, dude. He got the hole because he knew he saw fucking Kelce cut, and he goes, "I cannot run with him right now. Like, I can't do it. Like, I'm so fucking gassed."
And that's another issue that the Chargers have. Their defense is already so hurt on that defensive line. They're very injured, and if you go back, they were on the field. The defense was on the field too freaking long. You have to put together drives and you have to score in order to have a chance against KC. You got to.
Yes.
But they weren't moving the ball slow enough. The Chargers were not moving the ball slow enough to keep people in the game.
Right. Because they try to run an up tempo.
That's what they do.
Even when the Chargers were leading that game, they did not have any control over the tempo of that game.
Nope.
And that is not Justin Herbert's fault. That is the fault of the offensive and defensive coordinators and the plays that they are calling.
Absolutely. I was going to say, Ronaldo Hill, the Chargers defensive coordinator, actually deserves a lot of the blame for me. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, hey, Ronaldo Hill, you had a fucking easy job, dude, playing against an Andy Reid offense. Like, obviously that offense is the best in the league. It's going to be for the next 5 years. Like, it's stupid good. They're so stupid good. Like, I'm not blaming him, but you also – and what, like Will, like you said, like they're beat up. Dude, I think Joey Bosa fucking strained an Achilles listening to this. I think if he was listening to this, he probably fucking pulled a hammy. Dude, for real, like stretch. Joey Bosa, if you're listening, fucking stretch, dude. Start stretching. Are you not listening before? Like they're called calisthenics. Fucking would you start? Like that's all he does. They're all like, he's probably just juicing like a motherfucker. He's out there. He just pulled a fucking hammy because it's so big and like, you know. Had a lot of roids in it. No, I'm just kidding. But damn. Like, stretch, please, Joey Bosa. Like, for the love of God, it's never an actual injury. It's always like, ah, oh, Joey Bosa's got a little bit of a tweaked quad.
Soft core injury.
Quad. It's like here's that's a
soft tissue injuries. I'm sorry.
Here's the thing, Joey Bosa. Hematoma. I am gonna blow my Achilles 4 minutes into this flag football game on Thursday. Yes, that is completely understandable because I am 35 and out of shape. You are a professional fucking athlete. Your job is to work out and build up your body and reinforce those structures so that this shit doesn't happen. That's exactly what that whole regimen. This is why Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady spend $1 million a year on their body. Get it right.
Look at Patrick Mahomes' body type and Tom Brady's body type, and then look at Joey Bosa's and tell me which one you wouldn't think off the cut was a better football player. Surprise, motherfucker, because Joey Bosa does not need to do any more fucking chick workouts, okay? No more chick workouts for you, Joey Bosa. You know what a chick workout is, Tony? That's all the old buys and the tries and looking at yourself in the mirror. Joey Bosa does a lot of chick workouts, dude. You can tell.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Those don't translate. They don't. Look at Andrew Whitworth, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Rams left tackle, 40 years old, out there playing the best left tackle of his career. And he literally said on the Colin Cowherd show that he hasn't lifted a weight since he was in college. He goes, I don't lift anymore, dude. He goes, I just play. He goes, I play hard. He goes, I keep in good cardio shape and I stretch. He's like, I'm already big and strong enough, dude. He's like, I'm already big and strong. He's like, I don't need to be lifting a bunch of weights. He's like, I'm not doing it for the chicks is what he actually said on the show. He's like, I'm not doing it for the chicks. He's like, I got a wife. He's like, I'm good. And like, he's just a stud. Yeah, he's a stud. And like, that's what it is, though. Cause like, Joey Bosa gets hurt because those muscles are, that's a bit too much in there, bud. Like, you don't need all that. You're not a fucking bodybuilder. You're a DN.
Real quick. Monday Night Football. Game's about to wind down. We got a minute 18 left in the fourth quarter. The 49ers are destroying the Arizona Cardinals. 38-10, folks. 38-10.
I wonder if this will be the game where Cliff Kingsbury finally gets L fired.
It's next. He's next. He's next. He's got to be. His team is not responding because to him at all.
The Raiders cannot afford to fire Josh McDaniels until after next season. That's how fucked they are. Nathaniel Hackett will get till at least the end of the season because the new ownership's taking over and they want to have time to go through the process and they want to have choices. So you're not going to see Nathaniel Hackett get fired before the end of the season. However, Cliff Kingsbury should have already been fired. He
should have been hired in the first place.
He's got to be on the chopping block at some point. Like, he makes the dumbest fucking decisions.
People keep telling me tonight the reason why Arizona's losing because there's no Kyler Murray. Nope. BSH fan, I'm not putting excuses for our team, and I damn sure ain't going to do it for them.
Cardinals. Colt McCoy, here's the thing. Cardinals, I watched the start of this game. And relying on Colt McCoy to be your quarterback for more than three snaps at the end of a game when you've already won or lost is like relying on Taco Bell to keep you from shitting your pants.
Solid bet either way.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't be Colt McCoy.
Jimmy G tonight. 20 of 29. 228 yards and four touchdowns.
Jimmy G is the real motherfucking deal, bro. Will?
Jimmy G is better than he gets credit for, but I don't think he's – I still don't think he's that
guy. Don't think he's the guy either. I just think that he has a lot of weapons now, but I don't think he's the guy either.
Well, I have a hot take.
Oh, we got to do a hot take.
I do real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll take Jimmy G over Lamar Jackson. I'll take Jimmy G over Lamar Jackson.
That's strong reach, bro. I don't know what I can handle now.
I can't.
Let me re-say that. Even though I'm sticking to it.
I can't.
I'll take Jimmy G over Lamar Jackson in a John Harbaugh system.
I still can't. I can't.
He doesn't really do the, I mean, it's a power run kind of thing. So like Lamar would be good in it, but like, I don't think that Lamar's going to be able to not do like really awesome things.
I mean,
because you know, like, that's what they asked Jimmy G to do. It's like, don't be fucking special. Just run this offense, run the ball. And then like, you know, like it's a system thing, but at the same time, like, I don't know if Lamar's going to not be able to do awesome shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to be like, I can run right now. And just
only reason why I don't agree with you, because I think Lamar's doing more with less. And that's the only reason why I can't agree with you, because he doesn't have a Deebo Samuel. He didn't have a Brandon Ayuk. He didn't have a George Kittle that he can rely back on receiver wise. Even his running game is somewhat has been deficient lately. You don't know if it's going to be Dobbins, who's always hurt. Don't know if Gus Edwards is going to come back. You don't know what Kenny Drake's going to do. Kenny Drake sucked yesterday. So on that reason alone, that's why I can't agree with you, because when you look at what Lamar's doing, with the amount of talent he has in that squad, it's kind of good.
It shows you how talented Lamar Jackson is, really.
Yeah.
Because obviously there is more talent in San Francisco, but like it shows you how talented he is because he's carrying that team. Like you said, like there's not all of that stuff going on. But
right.
Like, I think that sometimes it hurts these quarterbacks when they're that talented. I think Kyler Murray doesn't help you win games. I feel like Kyler Murray helps you sell tickets.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. And here's the thing. First of all, the reason why I would take Lamar Jackson is because Jimmy G in Baltimore, that team is 3-7.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar in San Francisco,
they're 4-5.
No.
I would say they're at least the same record as the Ravens right now at 7-3, if not 8-2.
Okay, so the Ravens are okay. I see.
You mean to tell me? So you mean to tell me? So you mean to tell me that you take Lamar Jackson and everything he can do, you put him on a team with those receivers, those two running backs. Come on, Mitchell is healthy. Mitchell's good. We know what McCaffrey is when he's healthy. We know what George Kittle is. So
I can specify in that system.
So, okay.
Yes. Okay. So yes, I do take Jimmy G because I'm obviously we can't, that's so hypothetical. It's because obviously Lamar wouldn't have the time that Jimmy G's had with that system, blah, blah, blah. But like if you would have started in it, I take Jimmy G in that system as a 49er, I think, over Lamar Jackson. Like if you just switch him around, because Lamar is so freaking talented that he's going to have to like break a play and run out of the pocket at some point, because that's just how fucking freakishly good he is. Does it make sense? Dude. Jimmy G just plays so well within it because he's not that freak talent that he can't go out and just, you know, run a naked bootleg and juke a dude or fucking do some crazy Lamar Jackson middle of the field spin shit when he's going 25 miles an hour. Like he just doesn't do that. So he works better in a John Harbaugh system. Like he just does. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Like I wouldn't take him off the bat. I'm not taking Jimmy G in a fucking straight draft. With Lamar Jackson. I'm taking Lamar Jackson, but like right now, like with whom they play, I have to. You know what I'm saying?
I I see you, but I'm still I'm gonna take in that Harbaugh system, I'm still taking Lamar Jackson because
I know where we're fucking up. I'm fucking up. I keep saying Harbaugh system. No, I'm talking about Shanahan's. Shanahan system. Okay, I'm sorry, guys. I fucked that up. They're kind of similar.
Kyle Shanahan system. Okay.
Well, and didn't John Harbaugh coach the 49ers for a while anyway?
He did. And he did
for a minute. Okay, so yeah. I was
so fucking that up.
Take Lamar Jackson in that Kyle Shanahan system. I almost think they would be two wins better. I will even go bold as to say they would be two wins better right now with Lamar Jackson. Because if you give Kyle Shanahan those legs,
right?
Those legs,
yeah,
and all of that protection plus all of those assets to bail him out.
What you gonna do with it?
Yeah, exactly. At least two wins better with Lamar Jackson.
What you
gonna
do as a defense against that? You can't stack the box.
No,
you can't stack the box.
Do you guys get what I'm saying, though? Like, demeanor-wise, like, I understand that, like, Lamar Jackson is obviously a better talent. Like, I think he's a better quarterback. But, like, I think Shanahan's systems are, like, almost tailored to not have your quarterback be that freakishly good.
I mean, to your point.
Aren't they?
To your point, he did get Matt Ryan to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, look at it on paper, too. Jimmy G's a better quarterback.
He just flopped in the end.
Right.
Hope 2083. But anyway,
I want to ask a question on this, then we'll move on. Dan, and Dan, you would know this better than I would. That's why I'm legitimately asking this. When has Kyle Shanahan had the ability to really use a quarterback, a mobile quarterback like that's Lamar Mahomes-esque?
John Elway.
Kyle Shanahan, not his dad.
I know, but Kyle was on those 90 staff.
He was on staff.
He was young, but like, he didn't have draw. I'm not saying like he probably called the plays. He didn't call the plays, but like he's seen it at least. I mean, who has ever had Lamar Jackson legs at quarterback? Who's ever John Harbaugh?
But here's the thing is, but that's what I'm saying. But this is what I'm getting at.
I see what you're saying.
We haven't gotten to see the type of or the changes that would come to Kyle Shanahan's offense with a mobile quarterback like that. And Trey Lance is a more mobile option. So we may start to see this next year if he can actually stay healthy. But we haven't gotten to see him do a lot with a mobile quarterback because he hasn't had a mobile quarterback. He has.
Right.
Matt Ryan is a pocket passer. Yes, he has some mobility. But especially later part of his career before Shanahan, left Atlanta, he wasn't really that mobile of a quarterback at that point.
You guys are right. I'm just going to say, like, I know that a lot of people don't hear that a lot. Like, I'm being not joking right now. Like, I was wrong on the hot take. Hey, you know what? But sometimes with hot takes, you put yourself out there. You know?
But there's only two QBs.
No, you guys are correct, though.
There's only two QBs I would take over Lamar Jackson right now. Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Really?
That's it for me.
Right. Like, okay. So I'm trying to think. Like, I mean, I guess that's understandable. Yeah. Like right now.
Yeah.
Like with the current state of the NFL. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think he's probably the third best quarterback. Right. I mean, that's okay. I can see that.
Well, but hold on. What about? Yeah. Cause yeah, you got to put him above Jalen Hurts, but Jalen Hurts would have to be fourth.
And Jalen Hurts is so young. He's so young and
that's the hard part about Hurts for me is he's still really young. And there's a lot of talent there, but I haven't seen enough to see if he's that guy yet.
I mean, cause to me, you got Mahomes, you got Allen, you got Lamar, Burrow, Herbert.
I would take Justin Herbert over Lamar.
And will you want to go? And I understand that. I understand that. That's a big boy.
That's the only one.
That's a big boy with a big arm. I understand that.
And when I saw him in Kansas City, dude, like I was literally sitting like right behind their offense. I mean, obviously for half the time, but like a lot of the drives were like behind Herbert. So I got to see kind of what he was seeing the whole time. This motherfucker, dude, drops dimes consistently. He's one of the best pocket quarterbacks I've ever seen in real life. Like it was unbelievable to watch that dude. And it's just like straight 3 to 5 step drops. There's nothing special about it. Right. It's just all standard. Everything's fucking perfect. And he just slings it. He looks through his routes. He checks everything. Like, he's fucking pocket passer wise. That dude's unbelievable.
He would thrive in Shanahan's system.
Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. And like you said, well, not afraid to run the ball. He's Mm-mm. big. Mm-hmm. He's super smart. He's mm-hmm. like an 149 IQ or something stupid like that. He's a fucking genius, apparently. Obviously, mm-hmm. he went to Oregon. He was valedictorian at Oregon or some salutatorian shit. He was like, he had like an over four GPA, man. Which I don't even know what the fuck that happens. They added something to the GPA thing.
You like, have to blow the dean at least once a semester to do that. That's what it takes.
Well, and you suckle that thing down because you're getting salutatorian, bro. Like, you're getting that degree and salutatorian merits. Like, I am suckling on that every year, whenever it's salutatorian's in it for you, you know, get out there and be somebody.
All right, guys, we are an hour and 25 minutes in. Let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. Anybody, anything else they want to get out there before we close up shop for the night?
Luka Doncic is from Slovenia, not Lithuania.
Hold on,
sorry to all my Slovenian brothers. Hey, we got a large draw in Slovenia, Will, trying to keep our Slovenian audience engaged. I don't want to misquote their boy, because like that's got to be their dude at this point. Like, Luka's their guy.
No.
So like,
okay. All right. Really quick, one more time. I'm gonna promote this Thursday. I will be playing in a flag football tournament or flag football game for charity. So you good. Can donate to the cause. All proceeds will be going to Toys for Tots. That is my Cash App tag. It goes right to me. I will personally make sure that it goes where it's supposed to go after I get done at the bar. And we are going to have some fun and play some football. And I promise videos next week on Sports Report of yes. how fucking bad that is, because it's gonna be awful.
Will. Bring your dollar bills, Will. We're gonna do live. We're gonna do live on the air. Just $1 bets on what happens on the play. Like, okay, so this play started out as a wreck. Does Tony end up on the ground? Does he end up with his face in somebody else's knee, or does he end up? We just start putting money on it. Like, oh, he's on the ground.
He's on the ground. Yeah, here you go.
He's on the ground, and he's just going 110% the whole time. You know he's gonna be. Out there sweating with his headband on.
Over under. If you're a betting person on BetMGM, we're gonna see if we can get some bets going for this. The over under on how many times I will trip over my feet as I'm running.
Two and a half.
I'm gonna set the line at 4, and I'm telling you to take the over.
There's always a problem when the guy setting the bets is the guy who's actually part of the bet.
I have integrity. I'm not betting.
Collusion 101.
I'm just trying to make y'all some money.
Hey. If I know anything, I promise you, Tony will go 110% during that entire flag football game. He's going to go fucking hard in the paint.
I won't see 7.
I'm going to fight at least one person. That's how aggressive I'm going to be in this
one. Yes, make sure you tackle them. Like, don't like act like you're grabbing the flag, but like just grab their shirts and shit, dude. You have to. And then get the flag.
And instead of making my flags on the Velcro that they're supposed to be on, I'm going to tie them onto my belt so that when people try to grab them, they can't get it.
Yep. Absolutely. And then, hey, if you're on defense, throw your flag off so that you can just go and like you can pick the ball off and you can't advance it. But that means that you're not like it's something weird in the rules. Look it up. I believe it's that you can advance it if you don't have your flag on. Not a joke. Look it up. Very interesting stuff.
If
you have it tied on, you might not.
I want to see Tony's post game interview. That's what I want to see. Both teams play hard. We played hard.
100%. Lots of
effort. 100%.
Lots of effort.
Did this for charity. Did it for the kids.
We did for the kids. How about the kids? Tony T love the kids.
Just 60 hard miles fought with my brothers.
Tony, can you give us an honest assessment of how the game went? You tripped over your own feet three times. Like,
I may be having a heart attack right now, so I can't give you any straight answers.
I guess I won that bet. And he's just laying on the ground, unconscious. You're like, Tony's not answering questions right now. This is Tony's left lung.
Tony's on the stretcher right now with two pulled hamstrings.
They're now forcing marijuana in his mouth while he's passed out. folks, this is not well. This is not a good scene.
Oh God.
Oh my goodness. And on that note, thank you for everybody being
Tony, dark lizard. Real quick, Will.
Go ahead.
Tony, last time I played a flag football game, the last one of my life, I literally in warmups, dude, was like somebody, the dude was like throwing me a route and he overthrew it big time. And I tried to like, just kind of hurry up and sprint towards it, pulled my fucking hammy immediately, dude. Like all the way up my back, like pulled my hamstring, dude, so bad. And I like, of course I'm out there trying to look cool, you know? So I don't fucking make it look, but it burned bad, dude. It was bad.
The only thing that I am fortunate enough in this whole experience is that when I come home from this clusterfuck of a flag football game on Thursday, even if I pull both hammies and maybe tear a pec or something, I have my amazing massage therapist wife that will be here.
You do. She cannot heal torn muscles, though, just so she doesn't heal those. She can make them feel better.
Her double vagina magic will hear those torn muscles because she's the only one that's allowed to cause me any lasting pain is my wife. So
it will somehow like sync with her womanly senses. And
yeah, she'll just walk in and the tear will hear. And she'll walk in, the tear heals. And then at that point, I will then be in trouble because I made her use her double vagina magic on that. And I will end up in pain again.
There you have it, folks. Over/under 2.5.
There you go.
Take the over.
All right, guys. Thank you for being here tonight. We do appreciate it. We'll see you again right here. 10 p.m.
I got a hot take, Will.
Right
here. Oh, God, no.
One more.
No.
And then hit it.
One more.
I don't.
Joe's is going to kick my ass tomorrow.
Play it on loop on the way out, dude.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
All right, I got a hot take, bro.
Oh my gosh. That's going to be it for us, guys. We'll see you again next week right here on the Sports Report Podcast. Have a great week. Have a safe week. And take care. I'm going to do it for real.